Legal abortion does not mean safe abortion. Find out why next on Gospel of Life. Welcome, brothers and sisters, to Gospel of Life. This is Reverend Frank Pavone, director of this ministry. We're joined today by Associate Director Janet Marana and Pastoral Associate Reverend Rusty Thomas of Elijah Ministries. Welcome to you both.
Howdy.
Good to have you on the program again. We're going to talk about something today that we are, all three of us, very familiar with because we've seen the devastation firsthand. And that is the fact that although abortion has been declared legal by the Supreme Court, which of course doesn't make it in line with any of God's laws any more than it ever was, despite the fact that that declaration has been made, this procedure is not and has never been safe. And that's true for two reasons. One, because the procedure itself inherently carries so many different risks. But what we want to focus on in this program is the other reason why it's unsafe, and that is because of the corruption of the abortion industry itself, the corruption of the abortionists, the malpractice and the foul treatment that takes place in these clinics, and a story that is still, after 33 years of this so-called legal abortion, story that is still untold. People don't realize how unregulated and how devastating the abortion industry is.
You know, groups like the National Organization of Women say that, you know, the whole reason they fought to make abortion legal was because of back alley abortions. Women were dying and the disgusting conditions in back alley abortion places and doctors. But the thing is, just because, you know, the doctor took the shingle off the back door, you know, and put it on the front door, it hasn't made it any safer, any better for the women. It really hasn't.
Well, the average amount of abortions each day are somewhere in the neighborhood of 4,000. The conservative estimate that is at least 50 abortions each day are botched. So we're not just talking about the spiritual trauma that women go through, the emotional trauma that women go through as they deal with this sin and crime called abortion, but each day at least 50 women are harmed physically to the point there's a possibility they'll never be able to conceive a child in the future. In other words, the whole reproductive system, not only has the child been ripped from their womb, but the womb itself has been ripped from these women. And this happens each and every day in the United States of America.
Far more than we even know. And of course, there's good reason, Rusty, that you say conservative estimate, or at least, because what we learn, of course, all of us know from the abortion industry, they cover up their tracks. They become expert at covering up their tracks so that there is no, if anyone claims that they know the limit, oh, there's no more than this number of injuries or this number of deaths from legal abortion, then they're either misinformed or they're lying for the abortion industry. Because the fact of the matter is, the more we dig, the more we look for these injuries and these abuses, the more we find.
Well, and one of the things we must understand, the abortion industry takes advantage of the fact that most women who exercise, their services, they know that there is an onus connected with it. In other words, there is a shame and a guilt that is associated with the very practice itself. Well, this actually works to the abortion industry's advantage. Mm-hmm. In other words, they can use and abuse these women. And you have a book called Line Five. There.
Yeah.
One of the most outrageous developments in the abortion industry is how many women have been sexually abused, sexually assaulted, even raped in the abortion industry itself by abortionists.
It is rampant.
It is rampant. But yeah. One of the things the abortion industry knows, how many women are going to come forward and say, you know, I'm sexually promiscuous. B, I went to the abortion industry. C, I've had an abortion.
Right.
You know, how many are going to come forward and say that publicly?
Right.
And the abortion industry understands this.
They
and
do.
They have these women at a great disadvantage, and they could use and they could abuse them. They can corrupt them.
Well, it's like the married man who goes to the prostitute, and the prostitute steals his wallet. What's he going to do when he comes back? Say, hey, oh, yeah, I report my wallet stolen. By whom? By a prostitute.
Yeah.
You're at a disadvantage.
And let me tell my wife first.
Exactly. Your credit card that was in my wallet got stolen.
Right.
Now you've got double trouble. Now, what you just said, that Lime 5, I have this book here because we want to urge our viewers to get this book. And we at Gospel of Life Ministries are giving this book away. This is a book that some people are going to be too squeamish to read, honestly. We've got to tell them up front. Right. This is hard stuff in here. But it's a story that has to be told because it includes what you just said. I want to read an example of what you just said here from page 86 of line 5. 19-year-old student nurse Catherine alleged that an abortionist wrote her an unsolicited and undesired prescription for birth control pills. Several hours later, he took her arm as she was leaving the nurse's lounge and led her down a flight of stairs. When she asked where he was taking her, the abortionist replied, "You never ask a doctor where he's going." Catherine testified that she had no reason to fear the abortionist because he was a doctor and he was the same age as her father. However, as he brought her into a room that was still under construction, she became alarmed and asked him to let her go. At that time, the abortionist tried to kiss her, tightened his grip on her arms, and then began pulling down her scrub suit pants. Mm. Catherine said she feared for her life and was afraid to scream. Because she was not physically strong enough to fend him off, she was not able to prevent her rape. This is in a legal abortion clinic. You mentioned before about the back alleys, and as we know, you know, before Roe v. Wade, 90% of the abortions were done in doctors' offices. They weren't by and large in back alleys. But like Janet said, all they did was took their name off the back door, put it on the front door. They're the same corrupt kind of people that are doing this.
Well, we also know, Father Frank, as we've investigated the abortion industry, you're not going to have the top or the cream of the crop of those that are skilled medically being involved in abortion. Typically, those so-called doctors that are involved, they're in the bottom of the barrel. You know what I mean? They're not very skilled. One of the reasons why they've gotten involved in the abortion industry is because that's the only way medically, so-called, they could succeed and actually make money according to the practice. And so these are not very skilled people. Obviously, they're not very moral people.
Right.
They've abandoned ethics. They don't honor the Hippocratic Oath, which was the standard, you know, for those involved in medicine. I will not, under any circumstance, give an abortifacient to any woman to kill the unborn child.
That's right. And that's been thrown out the window.
Absolutely. So there's abuses there as well. As even the standard of medical practice, there's abuses going on.
It has corrupted the very practice of medicine, as well as the very practice of law.
You know, when you discussed just now, Reverend Rushy, the caliber of these doctors, we know, first of all, a lot of them have lost their licenses in one state, so they move on to another state. They'll travel from place to place to do abortions. They'll maybe be in one part of one state in the morning. The next day, they fly in a little plane up to another part of the state. They're not a gynecologist or obstetricians where they have specialized in this field. Some of them, you could be a podiatrist and do an abortion.
So many people don't realize that. They presume that if you're going to do abortions in America, well, you have to somehow have a knowledge of obstetrics or gynecology, women's health issues. But the fact is, you don't. The law does not require that.
And if you listen to that young lady saying there about this doctor that raped her, what did she say? Oh, he was like my father. That's the other point. Most of these doctors are older men, you know, who are in the latter years of their medical profession. They're not top-notch, you know, doctors at all. And I know, for example, with the Silent No More Awareness campaign, these women who've come to regret their abortion, listening to the stories of these women, and we're going to watch in a second a clip of some of them, the things that you both saying here are absolute true. We're not making this up. Maybe what we should do right now is listen to the voices of just a few of the many, many women that I know have told us these things, and let's see what these women have to say.
They always make sure they get your money before they even do anything else. And I think that's what they didn't want to do, is give me my money back. She called another girl in, a counselor, and says, could you please take her mom out? I think she needs a cup of coffee or something. She needs someone to talk to. And while my mom was whisked away in another room, they got me back there pretty fast.
I laid on the table. And I can tell you, the nurse, she had blonde hair, white lab coat. The doctor, gray hair, gray beard, white lab coat. And I laid there and I was shaking and I started to cry. And I looked at the nurse and I said, I don't want to do this. I've changed my mind. The doctor got annoyed with me. He said, oh, that's normal. You'll get over it. And then he said, it's too late. And we know that that's a lie now. It wasn't too late.
The nurse, I said, I kept telling her, my mom wants to be in here with me. I really want my mom in here to hold my hand and support me. And she said, oh, honey, it's okay. I'll be here for you. She kept telling me that, I'm here for you. And I just laid there, and you didn't know what to do. I knew my mom was in the other room crying, and I'm just kind of stuck there. I felt very trapped. And you become so numb, you just freeze on the table.
The head lady of Planned Parenthood stomped in my office and said, who do you think you are using a fetal heart tone Doppler to allow our clients to listen to their baby's heartbeats? And I said, well, that's what you do as a part of being a nurse practitioner. You listen for heartbeat if you think there's something awry with the pregnancy. And she said, well, not at Planned Parenthood, we don't. And I said, well, I didn't realize that, but if I'm not supposed to do that, you know, I won't do it anymore. But I guess under these circumstances, I did the right thing because I got her where she needed to be, at the emergency room. And she said, no, you didn't. Why didn't you send her for an abortion? And I said, well, if I would have sent her to Dallas for an abortion, y'all would have done the sonogram. You would have seen that the baby was not viable, that it was not alive, and you would have told her. And she said, no, we wouldn't have. She said, the client signs for consent for their abortion before we actually do the ultrasound. The only reason we do the ultrasound is to see whether or not we need to do this type of abortion or another type of abortion. That's the only reason we do the sonogram. And she said, we don't tell them if the baby's dead or alive, and we don't tell them if it's twins or triplets. Well, by this point, I am just shaken. You know, I'm thinking, you know, who are you to do this to people? You can't do this. You know, that's not informed consent.
Well, you know, what's amazing to me is that some of the people who promote abortion under the rubric of feminism ignore the voices of these women, whereas feminism is supposed to mean you listen to the voices of women.
Well, I was even sharing with this with a young lady last night, in fact, the double standard of feminism. I mean, if you look at the act of abortion, see, feminism sold to America that abortion would set a woman free to pursue her life goals unhindered by pregnancy and children. That's how they sold this. But if you look at the actual reality, who's set free? Is it the woman? No. She bears the onus. She bears the guilt and the shame of that act. But it does set men free. I mean, this is the horrible truth. In other words, the very thing that feminism hates about men, they are actually promoting and enabling men to use and abuse women and then throw the plastic on the table so they can continue their predatorial practices against women.
Exactly.
I mean, in every conceivable way, Father Frank, you know, one of the things we say is that it takes a village. Remember Hillary Clinton said it takes a village to raise a child. Mm-hmm. And our response is, no, it takes a village to kill a child. And what I mean by that, brothers and sisters, is that we got to deal with this double standard with the abortion industry. It has become, they have become the untouchables. And they've garnered for themselves the most favored business status. So we're not just talking about the corruption within the abortion industry, but how much corruption goes on
to protect it.
Right.
That's right.
You know, you look at the media. When's the last time we saw an investigative reporter actually go into the abortion industry from beginning to end with their hidden cameras and their hidden microphones? You know what I'm saying? That you follow a woman through the entire process.
Right.
You know, that where she's on the table and she's trembling and all the lies that are being told to her to sell the abortion. Right. And then the actual abortion takes place. Do you hear the machine? Do you see what's going on? Do they show us the remains of these children? You know, do they show us what they do as they throw these children away like a piece of trash? When's the last time we've seen that on the media?
That's right. That's the hypocrisy. Sure, you want to have a public debate about abortion? Let's start by looking at what it really is and how it takes place.
You know, when you look on the cable channels, they will have heart surgery, all kinds of kidney transplants, heart transplant surgery. You can see it all.
Right.
But they won't show what an abortion is, the most common surgical procedure here in the United States, and they won't show it.
No. And you look at just take the IRS. I mean, they audit people left and right.
Mm-hmm.
When's the last time we heard a public audit of the abortion industry?
Well, that's one of the things, you know, Mark Crutcher, our friend and president of Life Dynamics, where we're taping these programs, and when he wrote this book, Lyme 5, and he got input from many, many people, including us, on some of the stories in here, pointed out that this is exactly one of the things that's happening, that the books are being rewritten, the medical records are being falsified, the being covered up, and that requires somebody going back and taking a look at that. But the book also documents how people are so unwilling to do that.
You know, and even when you said so many aspects of corruption are, it's even in the government. Because why is it that there are no laws regulating abortion clinics for the health standards in those clinics? You know, when New York State, where I come from, the veterinary clinics, like where I take my little dog Oreo, have all kinds of laws in the books about
sure.
the kind of doctor that can handle the animal, who can give the injection, and so on. But for the abortion clinics in New York State, no one checks on them. No regulations, nothing.
It's just this incredible double standard. But you know what, Father Frank? This is what happens to a nation that seeks to defend the indefensible.
That's right.
So many of our standards, so many of our practices have to be set aside to allow this atrocity to continue.
Well, that's why we're so grateful to both of you for what you do to sound the alarm on this. We're going to continue talking in another program about this. But brothers and sisters, we all need to sound the alarm and make people aware of how the abortion industry is so corrupt that they will oppose even the state regulations that are passed for the abortion mills, few and far between as they are. Stay with us to learn about more that you can do in the pro-life effort. We're going to have our action segment in just a second. Meanwhile, know that we are praying for each of you.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I worried about staying in school.
I was already struggling to care for one child.
My parents told me I wasn't ready to be a mom, so I had an abortion.
I had physical problems afterwards.
I went from relationship to relationship.
I hated myself.
I started to have nightmares.
I cried when I saw a pregnant woman.
I tried to commit suicide.
Couldn't bond with the child I later had.
I tried to numb my pain with alcohol.
I struggled with depression.
I had trouble conceiving again.
You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
Each of us thought we were the only ones struggling afterward.
Now we realize many women regret their choice.
That's why we are silent no more.
We found help in healing, and you can too. Call or go online today.
Do you realize that every 23 seconds a baby is killed by legal abortion in this country? But you know, you can do something to save those lives. At Gospel Life Ministries, we have a bulletin insert called You can save someone's life today, and we make this available absolutely free for your church. And it doesn't matter how many bulletins you print. Suppose you print 1,000, 2,000, we'll send it to you free. And in this insert, you can save someone's life today, are the resources that you need to reach out and help a girl. Suppose you hear of a girl who's pregnant and in need. We have the hotline numbers where that girl can receive help right in her own community. And we're talking about medical expenses paid, a place to live if necessary, job opportunities. She doesn't have to feel that her only way is to go to an abortion mill. And also, if you know someone who is hurting from an abortion, we want to bring them back to the healing and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this bulletin insert are the ministries there, toll-free numbers that are waiting in open arms to receive her back the help and healing. And in addition, you can inform your church community about facts about abortion. And then finally, you can get involved. You can help us and join hands in saving those lives, because in this bulletin insert are action items so that everybody can help save a life today. Thank you. Call us at our toll-free number.
Prayer is essential to everything we do as Christians. The Lord Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." That's why we at Gospel of Life have launched a national prayer campaign to end abortion. We've composed a simple prayer that you can say each and every day. And that prayer is available at prayercampaign.org on the internet. You can say this prayer with your family. You can bring it to your pastor. Some pastors, in fact, have placed this prayer in the church bulletin or on the inside of their parish hymnals. In whatever way you can promote this prayer, you'll be adding more and more believers to this great campaign to ask the Lord to bring an end to abortion in America and to commit ourselves to do what He wants us to do to achieve that goal. Join the National Prayer Campaign to End Abortion at prayercampaign.org. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Paul Shank. Gospel of Life Ministries, Priests for Life, and the National Pro-Life Action Center are ready, willing, and able to come to your church, conference, convention, prayer group, Sunday school, or pro-life event. Dynamic, seasoned, and experienced speakers, teachers, and presenters are available. Renowned leaders such as Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life and President of the National Pro-Life Religious Council, Dr. Alveda King, the niece of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and Janet Morana, Associate Director of Priests for Life and co-founder of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, together with pastoral associates Dr. Teresa Burke, the founder of Rachel's Vineyard, and her husband Kevin Burke, counselor and social worker, Jim Pinto, pro-life pioneer, and our clergy, Reverend Dennis Wild, Reverend Peter West, and Reverend Walter Quinn, are prepared to preach and teach in your church about how to end the tragedy of abortion, minister to those suffering from abortion, help train and organize your pro-life group, lead retreats, and much, much more. To schedule a speaker in your area, call the Speakers Bureau at 888-735-3448, extension 258, or email us at speakers@gospeloflife.com. The waiting is over. The time for action is now. Schedule an inspiring speaker for your area.
Welcome to our action segment. The single most important activity, the one most effective that we have found for people to do to advance the pro-life message, is to help and challenge people to look at what an abortion actually looks like by showing them the pictures of the aborted babies.
That's right. You know, the word abortion has lost all meaning in society, and so that's why we need to show these images. As you always say, Father, America will not reject abortion until America sees abortion. While we can't rely on the media to show the most common surgical procedure in the United States, we can't rely on them to show it on TV, we have to challenge people to look at these images of what an abortion is.
So we're going to ask people to do something very simple. On our website at gospeloflife.com/images, there are galleries of these photos. What we're asking people to do is, by way of their emails, by way of their publications, by way of just speaking to other people one-on-one, challenge people to go to that link and look at those images, especially if it's somebody that says he or she is pro-choice.
That's right.
Say, look, take a look at the choice that you're saying you agree with
and then let's come back and talk.
Right. Let's make sure we're talking about the same thing, where you know what the choice really represents.
Right.
And when they go to that website, I'd first like to encourage them to look at the unborn child. We have beautiful images of that unborn child. See the humanity of that unborn child, and then look to see what abortion does to destroy that child.
Yes.
The contrast is just unforgettable. It'll really make you realize how damaging, how wrong abortion really is.
Well, and for those that are not convinced about how these images do change people's minds, we have a sampling on our website of the numerous testimonies that we've received from email and from letters of people who have, in fact, changed their minds. They have all kinds of emails coming through that say, oh, I was pro-choice until I came across these pictures, and now I'm 100% pro-life. Or people who say, well, I was always pro-life, but once I saw these pictures, I decided I wasn't doing enough about it. So now I want to get more engaged. It is really, really powerful. Now, young people, especially going into internet discussion rooms, for example, or just sending out to their friends by email, can make this a project. To say, I want to get as many as people as possible to go to this these pictures and look at them.
And it can be very simple. To every email message you send out, why not put that little challenge as a footer?
As a footer,
that's
yes.
There with every message, challenging people to go and see the images.
And if you have a website, make a link to those pictures and say, here's a pro-life challenge. Take a look at these pictures and then tell us what you think about abortion.
That's right. Now, in addition to the unborn child images and the same child being aborted, we also have pictures of the actual procedure, both the first and second trimester. Procedure. And these are pictures that are not done by our organization or some other pro-life organization. These diagrams were done by a medical professional company called
right.
Nucleus Medical Arts.
Yes.
They do the diagrams for textbooks, for surgeons,
right.
for medical schools, for
right.
people who are studying procedures.
And for lawyers in when they have to present in court. About a medical
That's
procedure.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're going to talk about, abortion, you know, well, I wouldn't want it being in lay terms, but I think in the first trimester a woman should have a right to have an abortion. I challenge you to go up there and look at the diagram. See what a first trimester abortion is. See how it tears that child apart and see the invasive procedure that is being performed on that woman, and then see, are you still in favor of that choice?
Because we know that in other movements, when the horror of slavery or child labor or segregation was being exposed, people used the pictures to expose the violence and make the victim visible.
Again, go to gospeloflife.com/images and do it today.
Thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us on this program. And we need your help to support this kind of work. If you like what we're doing and you enjoy these programs, consider sending us a donation to Gospel of Life. We'll appreciate that, and so will the babies whose lives will be saved thanks to your generosity. We're also grateful to our friends at Life Dynamics for making this program possible. We use their studios, and their staff helps us in the production. And we also ask you to be in contact with us. Send us your questions. Tell us what you're doing together. And God bless you.
I'm Dr. Paul Shank, and I hope you've been encouraged and challenged today. If you and others you know, perhaps a prayer group, Bible study, Sunday school, or pro-life group, want to know more about Gospel of Life and how people of faith united together can build the culture of life, call us at 888-735-3448. Visit us on the web at www.gospeloflife.com or email us at info@gospeloflife.com. You can write to us at Gospel of Life, P.O. Box 60038, Staten Island, New York, 10306.